the two aspects of the Exodus from Egypt that need explanation because they are not simple to understand. It says that before we left Egypt, God put the charm, the favor of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians. And they went and they borrowed gold and silver and clothing from the Egyptians. And God already had said, put the clothing on your children. Both very strange things. First of all, what was the need for the Egyptians that we should find favor in their eyes? We should be charming to them. Shein ha. And if you'll tell me the reason was so they would give us gold and silver, that wasn't necessary. That was too much of a miracle. Because God could have done a lesser miracle and put the fear of the Egyptians in the eyes of the Jews, in the eyes of the Egyptians. The fear of the Jews in the eyes of the Egyptians. Not the respect. The Ramban says the fact that the Egyptians found us charming, we found favor, they respected us, is a tremendous miracle. It's one of the greatest miracles of the Exodus. Because the Egyptians should have hated us. They should have been repulsed by us because of all the punishments they were getting through us. And yet the Torah says no. They loved us and respected us. And they said, you know, we're the ones to blame and we're getting what we deserve and these people are innocent and they're really nice people. That was a miracle. God doesn't do miracles for no purpose. Just as a sidelight, it says that the Hashem Nosan Eschein Ha'am Be'ini Mitzrayim, God put the favor, the respect, the charm of the Jews in the eyes of the Egyptians. Not only were the Jews respected, even Moshe, who was the focus of all the punishments that came on the Egyptians, he was greatly respected in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants who saw close hand what he was doing to them, and the eyes of the people. So the Ramban says two shots. One, he says, the eyes of the people means the Egyptian, the common people. Not only was Moshe respected by the servants of Pharaoh, who saw close up what he was doing, even the Hamonam, the regular people, respected Moshe. In his second shot, the Ramban says, people means the Jews. Moshe was greatly respected, not only by Pharaoh's servants, but even by the Jews, which on the surface doesn't make any sense. But that question only bothered me till I became a rabbi. After I became a rabbi, the question was my question. Not only was Moshe respected by the Goyim, even the Jews respected him. That's a much bigger thing. I'll tell you, one Pesach ended on Friday. And I remember telling the Arab who we sell the chametz to, who is a buck in Hilchos Mechiras chametz. He corrects me sometimes when I make a mistake. He's been doing it for years. Every year he remembers exactly. He could sell chametz already. So I remember telling him this year, it's Shabbos, so don't come Friday night. Right? Come Motzei Shabbos. I remember telling him that. But he showed up Friday night. So I went out to him, I apologized. And I said, can I tell you that? He said, no, just the opposite. You told me to come the night that the holiday is over, and I saw that it was Friday night, and I couldn't believe that you could possibly buy back the chametz on your Shabbos, but if the rabbi said to come, I came. I said, can you do me a favor and come and tell my tefillah that? You thought differently, but if I said so, you know, what's it called? Why should have Balabatim who feel like that? Not the Arab. In any case, but what was the purpose of that miracle? Why did God have to put the favor, respect, charm of the Jewish people in the eyes of the Egyptians would enough to put the fear and not do such a great miracle? And secondly, why the Jewish people, okay, they took gold and silver, but why clothing? The Egyptian clothing was one of the things they didn't wear for 210 years, that they had the merit to go out And now God tells him, take the Egyptian clothing, put it on your kids. What kind of chinuch was that? What was the purpose of it? So, in order to understand this, the slavery in Egypt was not only a negative thing, but there were many positive things that both the Jewish people and the Egyptians got out of this slavery. In fact, both the Arisa, quoted by the Chidah, and the Tzlach, both of them say the same thing, that one of the purposes of being in Egypt, as well as all Goliaths, all the fact that if we have to go already into Goliaths, it's a punishment. It's a tikkun. But there's another reason too. Since the sin of other Marisha, there have been many sparks of holiness that have been lost amongst the nations of the world. And when the Jewish people go into Golis, and they go into these places, they bring back those sparks of holiness in many ways. One way is that there are converts that convert to Judaism because we're amongst those nations. They have a chance to see us and get close to us, and they want to convert. Those neshamas were holy neshamas that were lost amongst the Goyim. We'll see, as we progress, some other positive things. In any case, the silver and gold represents that. When the Jews left Egypt, they left with great riches. That the great riches was really the ability to get the Torah that they got by being 210 years enslaved in the Kur HaFarsa, in the smelting furnace that took away all their imperfections and again stripped them of their identity, their resources, their goals, where God could then recreate them as a nation. All of that was part of the Rechush Gadol, but the Jews weren't on the level to appreciate that. And therefore the Gemara says that Moshe pleaded, God told him, plead with the people to take the gold and the silver, that Avraham Avinu shouldn't have complaints, that I fulfilled what I prophesied, that they would be enslaved, and they would be, what's it called, the evil Oshon, they'll be afflicted. That I fulfilled, but I didn't fulfill that they'll go out with great riches. So the obvious question is, if God promised they go out with great riches, what does it depend on Avraham Avinu complaining? If Avraham Avinu wouldn't complain a word, God still has to fulfill his word. Why is it dependent on what Avraham's going to complain? So the Dugna Magid answers this with the following marshal. He says there was a youngster, a five-year-old, who was an accomplished violinist. And he was a prodigy. And he played for a symphony, for orchestra. The end of the month, the orchestra leader gave him a check. The kid went home crying. I played my violin for a whole month. They gave me a piece of paper. So the father made up with the orchestra leader. From now on, give him a bag of candy. Send me the check. I'll put it in the account in his name. When he grows up, he'll appreciate that his wages were not the candy. They were the check. But now he's a little kid. He can't appreciate that. So too, when God said they would leave with great riches, he didn't mean gold and silver. He meant the Torah, but the Jews weren't on the level to appreciate that. It was a piece of paper. So for the sake of the father, that Avraham shouldn't complain, God gave them gold and silver. But through the gold and silver, they recognized that they gained something from Egypt that they couldn't have gotten had they not been there. They gained from the experience, and they were now ready to get the Torah. The same thing goes with the clothing. Like we said, they took away the Egyptian identity. They taught the Egyptians how bad their identity was. They took the identity away from the Egyptians. And they took it with them into the desert. It says one of the things they did with the clothing was to wrap the matzahs in it. Because they guarded the lesson of the matzah. What they gained from that slavery, the lechem oni, the bread of affliction, and from their being freed from that identity of the Egyptians. They gained that by going out, and they had it as a memory. It protected the matzah. It enhanced the lesson of the matzah. Look how bankrupt the identity of the Egyptians were. They took it out into the desert with them. But in addition, and that, what's it called, also was a lesson to the Egyptians themselves. They also gave. That's the chen. They respected us. They looked up to us because they realized that they gained from us being amongst them and from them being punished because of us. They learned what their mistakes were. And they learned that maybe the nations of the world should serve the Jewish people, and through us, they're able to serve God. So they gave us gold, silver, clothing to go and celebrate Yom Tov. How do you celebrate a Yom Tov? You need to buy things for Yom Tov. That's the silver. You need to give your wife some nice jewelry. That's the gold. And you have to buy your children nice clothing. That's the clothing. The Egyptians gave it to us because they wanted us to be a part. They wanted to be a part of our service to God. And from us they learn. When we can't teach the nations of the world the lesson that there's a God from Eretz Israel, we're not on that level, then we go into Golus. We get to see them up close, so we don't want to be like them. They get to see us up close. Either they see us in a positive way, or if we're not positive, they see how we're punished. And they see that even though we're punished, we still survive. From that they learn that there's a God. So either they learn it from us in a positive way, or they learn it from us in a negative way. But they learn from us there's a God. The Egyptians also benefited. So we were charming. We found favor. They wanted to attach themselves to us, and through us serve God. And therefore, also, when we left Egypt, we took out our identity, our resources, our goals. The gold represents the Torah, which is the gold. The silver represents the resources. And the clothing represents the identity. And it's not just to see the negative identity and remember it in the desert. In Egypt, we couldn't wear the clothing, because that symbolized assimilation. But once we went to the desert, there were no Egyptians. Taking the clothing was both a remembrance of the negative identity of the Egyptians and also what we took from them. It says that in Golus, whenever we're amongst a host nation, our service of God, our mitzvahs, our Torah, is colored by the host nation, because our hashpah, the shefa, the influence that God sends to us comes through the angels of that nation. It doesn't come direct. It only comes direct in Eretz Yisrael. The influence, the religious, spiritual influence, comes through the host nation. That's why Jews in Germany, their mode of Avodas Hashem was more like the German character. Very punctual, right, everything exacting. In Russia, it was more emotional. Hasidus flourished in Russia. In Lithuania, it was more analytical. And so on. Each country gave a flavor. And those flavors weren't necessarily negative. Had we been on the level, we could have gotten all those enhancements in Eretz Israel directly from Hashem. Because we weren't on the level, we had to go into Golus. And in each place, we gained something. There was a lot of negative that we saw, that we realized we don't want to be like that. But there were positive things that we took from each Golus. In fact, there's a Gemara that says that Shmur Malka, the Persian king, said to Shmuel, "Your Mashiach is taking a long time to come. Maybe I'll give him a nice white steed from my horses, he'll come faster." He was mocking him. So Shmuel said, "Yeah, your white steed would make him come faster, but it wouldn't have the beautiful colors that the donkey of Mashiach has." And I saw somebody who explains that the beautiful colors of the donkey of Mashiach is that each station in Golus where we were, each place, added something, an enhancement to the Jewish people that eventually we back to Eretz Israel with us. Every country, we had something positive we took from that Golus too. So therefore, the idea of the gold, the silver, the clothing is what we took out of Golus. It was positive things. And also the negatives that we remembered from what was there. And also the fact that the Egyptians realized that they also benefit from us being there. And the ultimate goal of history is that we and the nations of the world should unite in service of God. And they should feel that through us, they can serve God. If they support us and we serve God, then it's as if they're serving God too. Could be that's what it means by non-schoolish Mitzrayim. It says they emptied out Egypt. And the Gemara says two examples. Egypt became like a trap for birds without bait, or like a pond without fish. In my estimation, they hint these two ideas. The trap without bait is powerless. It can't hurt any birds, can't catch anybody. Same thing. We were so convinced with what we took out of Egypt of how negative the things were there, it was no more bait, it was no more danger to us. At the same time, we took all the good things out of it, all the kedusha, all the sparks of holiness that we could take away, we took away. So there was nothing left in Egypt. For that reason, the Mepharshim say, we're not allowed to go back to Egypt. There's nothing more there that we can get positive. On the other hand, if you have to go back for business purposes or temporarily, you're allowed to go back because there's no more bait. There's no more draw. It's not dangerous anymore. We know how terrible it was. We both saw all the negative and we took out all the positive. There's no purpose to go back permanently, but there's no prohibition to go back temporarily. And just one last thought, something that I don't have yet completely worked out, but it's an idea. From Egypt, we took the clothing. We took the clothing with us. From Babel, it says we took the names of the months, came with us from Babel. We didn't have names of months before Golis Babel. We took it from the Babylonians. And from this Golis, like we said, we'll take the different places that we were, the positive things from those places. Comes out from Golis Mitzrayim, we took the identity. That the identity was important. And that was what Golis Mitzrayim was all about. It was about, changing the identity of the Jewish people. We need to go through strangers and affliction and slavery to take away our identity and give us a new identity. So what we benefited from the Golis of Mitzrayim was identity. Babel was a different thing. Babel came about because of our not using time properly. We were in Eretz Yisrael, we got old. We didn't utilize the time in Eretz Yisrael, and because of that, instead of learning Torah, for bittul Torah we were punished, we served idolatry and so on. We used our time the wrong way. So Golis Babel came for bittul Torah. It also came for Shemitah, which was a time-oriented thing. So what did we take out of Golis Babel? Time. The names of the months. Whereas Golis Edom has to do with place. Why? Because what does Golis Edom come from? Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is where Jews are scattered. They're not united in one place. They're scattered. They feel a repulsion, a separation. There's no love. There's no unity. So we're scattered in many places, and we bring back the benefits of those places. That corresponds to the three aspects of the world. There's time, there's the nefesh, the person, the identity, and then there is the, what's it called, the olam, the world itself. Place, identity, time. Each of the three goliaths that we've gone through and will come out of, we took from the first one, identity, clothing, the second one, time, the names of the months, the third one, place, all the benefits of the various places we were. Because the first two goliaths, Egypt, we were in one place, Babel in one place. Only this goliath have we been spread out in many, many places to get the benefit of place, which is the foundation of this third goliath.